Beginning. Morning, everybody. How are we doing out there on this nice, beautiful, cold Sunday morning? I thought I was back in Michigan for a minute, howbeit I'm in Florida. I got a few in the back. I'm not going to mention any names, but good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I have a couple announcements to make, and I just want to bring a couple things to your attention. For those of you who are coming in from the outside, from other areas, if you gave us your name and phone number, your passes are available at the guard shack. When you come in, tell them your name. They're going to look at you. They're going to take your license, match it, and then you will have a pass, so you will not have a problem coming in anymore. Okay? Just the pastor's wife. She had a problem, but that's okay. That's understandable. All right. Is there anybody here today with us for the first time? If so, we have a gift we want to give you in the back by the table back there. I will meet you back there after the service, and we will present it to you. Just want to say hello, shake your hand, and welcome you in to our church, the Lord's church, I should say. Now, if we could pray for the service. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for bringing us all here today. Even though it was a chilly morning, Lord, it's still you and it's still your glory that we're going to bring. We ask, Father, that you would be with the pastor today, be with the musicians as they tend to us, and bring us the word that you would have us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, good morning. I hope you're ready to sing this morning, because we got some good ones this morning. Aren't you glad we serve a mighty God this morning? Amen. Amen. Let's sing about it this morning. What a mighty God we serve. Sing, what a mighty God. And great and mighty is the Lord our God.
Great and mighty is He.
Oh, sing, great and mighty is the Lord our God.
Great and mighty is He.
So lift up your banners, let the anthems ring.
Praises to our King.
And sing, great and mighty. Such good singing. You could take a seat now. Amen.
Welcome again to Nettles Island Church. For those of you that are new with us today, please go back to the back counter and meet with Joe and Pastor after church. We do have a Bible promise book that we'd like to give you. It offers all the things that you want to know about. If you have a certain need, you can flip to that and see some scriptures that were pertaining to that need, and we'd love to meet you and shake your hand and welcome you to Nettles Island Church. For those, how many of you are returning to Nettles Island Church for the first time this season? Welcome back. I'm sure it's a little bit warmer here than where you came from. Maybe not much. It's very cold this morning for Florida, but we appreciate you being here. And we appreciate all of you that are regular attenders at Nettles Island Church. Thank you for being here. One announcement that most of you guys have probably heard is that Adam, our recreation director, is leaving us this week. If you haven't heard it, this is his very last week. He will be here till Friday, so go by this week and wish him well in his new endeavors, his future. We all wish him blessings. We are having a special get-together. It is a surprise from 11 to 3 on Wednesday. So go by. There is a couple of cards down in the cafe. So if you're down there, sign the cards. Come by Wednesday and wish him well. We appreciate all he's done for Nettles Island and our Nettles Island Church. And remember, it's a surprise for Adam. He does not know yet. Next Sunday, we are having both Holy Communion and we are taking our benevolent offering. So if you wish to give to the benevolence, pick up an envelope in the back so you're prepared and bring it next week. We use this money for people on the island, needs that are island, and I know many of you know about Shelby Antoon, that she had a very tragic accident and is still in the hospital. This is where our benevolence money goes. So people have asked, what is Nettles Island Church doing for Shelby? It all comes from our benevolence. So if you wish to help out with that, this is where you do it. So pick up an envelope in the back as you leave today. Look at the back of your bulletin. Lots of announcements on there. We do have a guest pastor today because our pastor is still in Peru. He will be returning this week, but we have his brother with us today, Bill Volpe, who will be giving our message today. We have two Bible studies that we're still accepting signups for, so if you're just back with us and don't know about those, see the bulletin and then sign up in the back. Today is the last day to sign up for the one that starts this Wednesday that's going to be led by Galen, and then our pastor's wife, Cindy, is also doing a ladies' Bible study, and so sign up for her Bible study in the back, too, if you'd like to attend that. He mentioned the off-island church attenders, and there are some concerts coming up, so mark those on your calendar. And once again, welcome to Nettles Island Church.
Thank you, Tammy. You know, I'll tell you what, Tammy keeps everything in order around here. I really appreciate it. She does a great job. Thankful for her this morning. Well, I don't know about you, but I grew up singing a lot of choruses. And these two choruses that we're gonna sing, we sing them quite often here. But I will serve thee because I love thee. Who all knows that chorus? I will serve thee. And how about this one? I'll say yes, Lord, yes. Who all knows that one? We got about five people, so you better sing out. You better sing out this morning. Well, let's worship the Lord this morning as we sing these songs. We're going to start out with I will serve you because I love you.
I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me, and I was nothing before you found me. You have given
what your answer is going to be this morning. Yes, Lord, yes. Amen. Amen. Well, it's always a joy to have some help up here. And this is my favorite help right here. She happens to be the prettiest of them all. And she's going to sing a song for us this morning entitled In Christ Alone.
In Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won. For I've been blessed beyond measure, and by His strength alone I overcome. Oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hands, but these trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. In Christ alone will I glory, for only by His grace I stand redeemed. And only His tender mercy could reach beyond my weakness to my need. And now I seek no greater honor than just to know Him more, and to count my gain but losses to the glory of my Lord. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. I place my trust and find my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. Yes, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone.
Wasn't that beautiful? That's not a voice to follow. Oh boy, I got problems. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer today and ask Him for His blessings on this service. In your bulletins, if you look in the middle, there's a prayer list. God knows what we need. He knows all about us before we were ever born. Right now, we're going to call on Him and His service to bless these. Almighty Father, we just ask that You would bless these names on this list. Father, You know their needs. You know every want, every situation that they have. We just ask that You would bless them, Father. Put a hedge of protection around those that we love that are on this list. Father, we ask for Your blessing upon Pastor Rob and the Perzis as they travel through Peru and then again will make their way home to us. We can't wait to hear what work You've done, Lord, that we will be careful always to give You the praise and the glory and the honor for all that is done. We thank You for the music today, Father. What a blessing that is to each and every one of our hearts that you take control of that and you bless us through those people. And Father, we continue to give you the praise and the glory. And now we welcome Bill as he comes to give us the message. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good. Thank you, thank you. Huh?
You can do it first.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Man, that song In Christ Alone, that's just it's power. Never aspire to rise any higher than the foot of the cross. And we'll be all right. Yep, yep. Well, nice to see everyone. Wow, what a bunch of beautiful, happy faces. Man, you guys are going to need a bigger church pretty soon, right? I'm going to throw out a number. 29,220. 29,220. Today, I'm going to speak about death. I know that's not a very popular subject with many people. But I'm also going to talk about life. I'm going to talk about life after death. I'm going to talk about life after death. I recently heard a song by a songwriter-singer named Sturgill Simpson, and in the title of the song is The Dead Don't Die. And part of the lyric goes like this: afterlife is over, the afterlife goes on. And I believe it. I believe the Bible clearly teaches it. And I'm thankful that there is more than only this life. Because this present life is brief. The Bible says in James, it's like a vapor. Like a vapor. Like a morning fog. You ever woke up on a morning where the sun hadn't gotten up far enough yet and there's a fog out there? But boy, the sun gets up there in a matter of a short time and it burns that fog off. That's what the Bible says life is like. It's like a morning fog. Burns off. In Psalm 90, verse 10, the writer, the psalmist there, he says, our days may come to 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. Back to that number, 29,220. That's how many days a person who lives to 80 years spends alive on the earth. 29,220. Does that sound like a lot? Because he knows how short life is, even a full life. Two verses later, the psalmist prays to the Lord. He says, teach us to number our days, or to realize the brevity of our life. Teach us to number our days, not our years. Most of us talk in years. How old are you? I'm 63, or I'm 72, or I'm 81. But he says, teach us to number our days, because we don't have a whole lot of days here on this earth, and they go by fast. Anybody here turning 80 today? Anybody here older than 80? Wow, look at you, strong people. Wow. I'm still trying to roll up on 70. I still got a little way to go. But this life is fast and then it's over. You know, when a person is young, life seems like the Daytona 500. All right, it takes around 3.5 hours for a Daytona 500 race. But the older we get, the less life feels like the Daytona 500 and the more it feels like a drag race. It's over in 3.9 to 17 seconds, depending on the type of vehicle or car. How many know what I'm talking about? And for anyone who doesn't have hope of life after death, this knowledge is depressing. And it can even be debilitating. But for we who believe and have the hope of bodily resurrection because Christ is raised, this hope is empowering, since we know what is to come is a glorious, renewed continuation of our present life. Today we're going to visit three states. We don't have a lot of time for this trip, so let's get going. The first state we're going to visit this morning is the final state. The final state is life after life after death. You got to think about that for a second. This is the age to come. So let's look at Revelation 21. It says there, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away.' He who is seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' And then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children.'" Now, you may be surprised to learn that the Christian's final and forever destination is not up in heaven, but it's dwelling back down here on this new earth that we just read about. And this is where it's all heading for Christians. This has been God's goal, and it's the big storyline of the entire Bible. Since the first humans, Adam and Eve, sinned, and the original heaven and earth were sent spiraling into darkness and wickedness and sin and death apart from God, and resulted in where we find ourselves in the world that we are in right now. Now, God's plan is restoring all of creation, including us, humanity, getting us back to Eden, actually far better than Eden. Why? Why is this his plan? Because the Creator God, the one who created the universe, the heavens and the earth, and all that we are, and all that we see, and all that we have, including ourselves, mankind, because he is love. He loves us, and he loves the world. The Bible says in John 3 that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you want to dwell with God and all the saints forever in the new earth? A couple of us do. There's only one way, and Jesus is the way. Christ Jesus is God's answer. Believe in him if you want to partake in the final state and be there. Now, when I imagine the new heaven and new earth, and it's not easy because we only have this earth. So I use this earth and what I know about this life to imagine the new earth that's coming. God said, I'm making everything new. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. So when I imagine it, I think of the good and beautiful things that I've experienced here and now. The marvel of creation. Loving, healthy relationships, life's joys, victories, laughter, freedom, peace, good health, meaningful purpose, community, my relationship with the Lord. And in my mind, I multiply that to the millionth power as best I can. And that's how I imagine the new earth and that life that we're going to have forever and ever. It's going to be unending, spectacular existence that will never, never be interrupted or corrupted by anything bad, anything sinful, anything shameful, anything ugly, anything dark, anything impure, anything wicked, anything hurtful, sad, or broken. Man, I can't wait. And listen, we're not going to be sitting on a cloud playing a harp. That's no fun. I don't even know how to play the harp. I envision an eternal bodily existence. Bodily existence. Engaged in passionate living and meaningful activity. We're God's stewards taking care of His new earth. Each one fulfilling his or her own God-designed destiny and special purpose in fruitfulness with other believers like you and me together. And God with us all right there. The Bible says He's going to make His dwelling with us. He will be our God. We will be His people forever and ever and ever, never to be separated from Him or His everlasting love. The final state, life after life after death. So that next state we're going to visit is the current state. And that's the present age. It's where we are right now, living and breathing, driving our cars, walking around, rubbing shoulders. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. But there is a place where someone has testified, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him. You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet, at present, we do not see everything subject to them. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. When God made man, He put Adam and Eve in that garden, and the Bible says that He gave them dominion over all His creation. They were to be the stewards over creation. They were given His blessing and told, be fruitful and multiply. You have dominion. He put everything under them. But what happened? The snake, the tree, the sin, and it all went haywire. And so because of that, as the Bible here says, at present we do not see everything subject to God's creation, mankind. But we do see Jesus. For thousands of years, God was working to redeem or to restore His people in this and humanity, and He did it through various means, and everything came up short. And finally, He sent Jesus, His only Son. And Jesus brought with Him God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is among you. It is broken through into this world at my coming." But you know, if we look around us, it doesn't really look like that, does it? There's still lots of pain. There's still lots of brokenness, wickedness, evil, darkness, trouble, sorrow. We do have splashes of the kingdom of God, people being saved and healed and delivered, and the power of God at work in this world, but we, side by side with that, we still see all this result of man's sin and pride and wanting to be his own God. And it can feel like it's all going to end with a terrible crash. And for those who don't know Christ, whose names are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, yes, they will come to a terrible end, separated from God forever. But for all who know Him and are known by Him, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we will partake in a glorious eternity. When I consider my life to this point, I've had my share of hardships. I've had my share of sorrow and regret. Probably a lot of it, maybe most of it, as a result of my own failures and sins, sometimes because of the hurtful actions of other people, choices of others, or maybe just things that happened in life. And I must say, though, when I think about it all, the good that God has allowed me to experience far outweighs the bad. But as Jesus said, in this present world, you will have trouble. You will have tribulation. Jesus didn't candy coat it. He knew that we would have hard times and sorrows and troubles and struggles. So how in this present state do we manage to walk in victory, in peace, and encouraged despite the darkness and the wickedness and the uncertainties and sorrows of life? Well, we live in such a way as knowing the end of our story. And it's called hope based on the knowledge of truth. And this is liberating. And it allows us to experience the peace of Christ within, even though conflicts and troubles arise without. You see, Jesus said, "I give you peace, but I don't give you peace as the world gives." His peace is different. You see, a person who doesn't have the peace of Christ and doesn't know Jesus, the only way they have peace is in the absence of conflict. But we who know the Lord, who know the end of the story, we have peace amidst conflict. Jesus is our peace. November 23rd, 1986, I was watching a NFL football game between the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'll just tell you this. I used to be a Browns fan. I'm from Pittsburgh, okay? But I used to be a Browns fan. I took a lot of abuse during the Steelers' four Super Bowl years back in the 70s. I'm no longer a Browns fan. I'm a Steelers fan now. But at the time of this game, I was a diehard Browns fan. And I remember watching this game, and it was back and forth, and the Browns would score, The Steelers would score. And it was coming down to the end of the game. The Browns were ahead, and the Steelers at the last moment of regulation tied the ball game, and it was 31-31. Time ran out. So they go into overtime. And I'm watching this game on the edge of my seat, biting my fingernails, you know. And overtime goes a little bit, and it's a little back and forth, but then bang, all of a sudden, Bernie Kosar, the quarterback of the Browns, fires one down the left sideline to his rookie wide receiver, Webster Slaughter, and Webster Slaughter catches that pass, and it's a 36-yard walk-off touchdown pass. Man, I was busting, man. I was jumping all over. And the Browns win 37-31. Now, I recorded that game on VHS. And baby, you can imagine I watched it back lots of times. And it's funny because when I watched the original game, when it was live, my heart was pounding out of my chest. I was discouraged at times. I was upset. I couldn't take it. These fumbles, these interceptions, these mistakes, these offsides. What are they doing? But man, when I watched it back on the VHS and I already knew, oh man, I could endure those sorrows, those fumbles, those interceptions, those bad plays that the Browns made. I could endure every one because I knew what was coming. And that's it, man. That's it. We know what's coming. And man, we win. We are going to be victors, overcomers. And so no matter what comes our way today or tomorrow or next week or next month, we can endure. We can have peace because we know that we have victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. So we visited the final state, the present state. Now we're going to visit the last state today, the intermediate state. And this is life after death. Philippians 1:19-26, Paul writes, the Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter from prison in Rome, I believe around AD 61, he says, "For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body, convinced of this. I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me." The next verse, it's not up here, but it says, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." What is the intermediate state? Well, it's the state of existence between the current state, life now, and the resurrection of the dead in Christ, which is the liftoff stage of the age to come, the final state. So when a born-again Christian dies, their spirit departs their earthly rental, their body, and is carried to heaven. As I mentioned before, Christians won't exist in heaven for all of our eternal existence. But initially, that's where our spirit goes at the moment of death. Now, what form of existence does the Christian experience during the intermediate state? I wouldn't be surprised if I invited each one of you to come up here and share your thoughts and what you imagine is going on right now with our believing relatives and friends and colleagues who've died. I believe there would be many different thoughts and ideas. Surprisingly, though, the New Testament doesn't offer very much insight here. It leaves us somewhat in the dark. It's kind of a mystery. But what do we know from the Scriptures? Not from everything outside the Scriptures, what everyone else says, but what do we know from the Bible? Well, first of all, we know this, that the intermediate state is not a bodily existence. My mom and dad are both passed away, and I can tell you firsthand that their bodies didn't leave the earth when they died. I stood around their caskets at the funeral home in Tequesta for a couple of days, and I saw their bodies laying in there. And then I watched as they put their bodies down in the ground at Riverside Memorial Park on County Line Road in Tequesta. And I'll go out there and visit that site from time to time. Their bodies are still under there. And it's interesting because I have this app on my iPhone here. And it tells how many days a person has been alive. You put their birthday in and it tells you each day how many days they've been alive. So I'm numbering my days, as the psalmist said. But what I did for my mom and dad, since their life on this earth ended, I re-put the dates in there for the date that they went to be with Jesus. Okay? So now every day when I look at this, I see that my mom today has been in the intermediate state for 2,101 days. And my dad has been in the intermediate state, his spirit in heaven, for 1,576 days today. The Lord Jesus is the only bodily resurrected human to date. His glorious body type is a transformed physical existence. Jesus was recognized after he was raised from the dead, the time that he spent on the earth before he ascended. He was recognized at times, but at other times, he made himself unrecognizable. He talks, he walks, he eats. He made breakfast for the disciples and ate fish with them. He can be touched. Doubting Thomas stuck his finger in the side of Jesus. He can be felt. He walks through walls. He appears out of nowhere. He disappears. He transports himself from one place to another instantaneously. These are all things we see right in the New Testament, in the Gospels. And that body type is what's coming for us. But not yet. Sounds like a little sci-fi movie, doesn't it? But that's the glorious body that Jesus received when God raised him from the dead. And that's what we're going to have someday. 2 Corinthians 5:6-9 says, therefore we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. So for Paul in the New Testament, the end goal of what we're heading for and heading toward is not disembodied bliss in heaven forever and ever, but rather it's a restored physical existence in a resurrected, glorified body, which is a gift from heaven, and that's what we will be walking around in forever and ever during the final state on this new earth. So what else does the Bible teach about the intermediate state? Well, we see in verse 21 of our scripture that it's, we will be safe. It says that it will be a step above and beyond this life's experience. It says right there, to die is gain. To die is gain, right there at the bottom, right there. To die is gain. That's kind of a strange way to think about death, but that's how Paul the Apostle thought about it. To die is gain. It's not loss. It's not loss to leave this present earth if you know Jesus. It's gain. It's better. It's something beyond. Now, when you think about someone dying, what is it we say when we are at the funeral home visiting a loved one's family or friend's family or whatever? We say, I'm sorry for your loss. That's right, because it is a loss for we who are left behind. We suffer the loss. We suffer the separation and the pain of not being able to be with a loved one or a friend or a colleague that we cared about, and mom or dad or brother, sister. It's we who suffer the loss. But the person who knows Jesus had died, they're not suffering any loss. It's gain. And then we also see here in verse 23 that Paul says that he longs to depart and be with Christ. Be with Christ. So we learned that during the intermediate state, and I got to roll here, I got to get through this state, we learn that we will be with Christ safe and secure. Safe and secure with Christ. The Bible says in Luke 23, when Jesus was on the cross with the thief, the two thieves on either side, the one thief put his faith in Christ and said, he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me. You will be with me in paradise. And then we see in verse 23, not only are we with Christ, but Paul says that I long to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. I know this is all we have, and it's hard for us to imagine anything beyond here, but Paul says that it's far better. And I believe that in that intermediate state, we're going to have a deeper revelation and realization of the love of God. Romans 8 says, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And one of the things he lists there is death. Not even death can separate us from the love of God. The hindrances of realizing the fullness and beauty and power of the love of God will be removed at death, because we will be present with the risen Christ without the limitations of our invasive thoughts, our bad thoughts, and our fallenness and our imperfections. Sin can interrupt that sense of God's love toward us. He never stops loving us when we sin, but it can interrupt our own sense of his love when we sin. But that'll be over with when we die in Christ. At the moment of physical death, the believer is immediately received by unimaginable, pure love. There's three main views of existence during the intermediate state. I'm going to breeze past these. The first view is blissful conscious awareness with Jesus. This is my personal belief. The immaterial self, the spirit, our spirit, exists in a non-physical, no body, but conscious, safe, secure, and loved state. In Revelation 6, we read about the souls under the altar who are not resurrected yet, don't have their glorified body yet, but it says that they cry out to the Lord and say, "How long, O Lord?" So they're conscious. The second view of existence during the intermediate state is soul sleep. Anyone ever heard of soul sleep? No. Okay. Well, soul sleep is the belief that the immaterial self or the spirit sleeps with Christ until the resurrection. It's safe, everything's okay, but it's just sleeping, not conscious. So sleep is a common non-literal metaphor for death in the Bible, as in John 11:11, when Jesus learns that Lazarus, his friend, died, he says to his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep." And so there's times in the Bible where death, there's a metaphor for death, and it's considered falling asleep. And those who hold to this soul sleep take these scriptures literally. So that's a second view. And then the last one that is common today is purgatory. Anyone ever heard of purgatory? Those who are baptized in the church but are still compromised by sin must spend time in purgatory after they die, which is a process, not a place, leading to total purification and later entrance into God's presence. Purgatory can be shortened, this is what they believe, by the prayers of loved ones or their monetary offerings to the church. Purgatory is not found in our scriptures. And I strongly believe that it undermines the sufficiency of Jesus' shed blood and death on the cross to deal with all of our sins. What did he say to the thief on the cross? When is he going to be with him? Today, you will be with me in paradise. That thief certainly wasn't prepared to die at that moment, right? But when he believed in Jesus, the blood of Christ was applied that Jesus was shedding right there and then. So there you have it. Our quick trip through three states is over. We're back home. Pastor Rob's and my dad, Ralph, he was a pastor until he passed away in 2021. And he came up with a saying that he made a theme for his life and his congregation. And the saying is this: keep your sun, S-O-N, glasses on, because your future in Jesus Christ is getting brighter and brighter. These sunglasses I'm wearing right now, they're not too dark in the eyes, but we got a bunch of these made, and we handed them out at my dad's funeral. And I still have some, and I wanted to put these on right now to show you that I am keeping my sunglasses on and my sunglasses on, because my future is getting brighter. It's not getting darker. It's not getting dimmer. It's not going to be worse. It's going to be way better. Yes, this present life is short and not without its challenges, but our hope is not for this life only, because of God's commitment to us and his creation and his deep love for us and his all-in rescue plan through his son, Jesus. We have nothing to fear, not even death. For our future in Christ Jesus is getting better and brighter with every step. I don't want to miss it. I won't miss it. How about you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the the blessing that you have given us to know the end of the story for we who are your children, the end of our story. And it's a beautiful ending. And actually, it's really just a beginning, because we're going to be with you and each other, all who believe in you, forever and ever on this new earth with wonderful, 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 beautiful times that will never end. Lord, I can't wait. I can't wait. And Lord, I want to live my life in such a way as to please you, because I want to be there. I pray, Lord, for each person in here today. I pray, God, that you will help us to see what's coming. Help us to appreciate it. Help us to live our lives in such a way as to be vessels of honor, to carry your light and your salt and your word to this dark world, so that more and more and more people can join us in this beautiful eternal destiny. I pray that we won't hide our lights under a bushel, but we'll let it shine. I pray, Lord, for anyone in here who's uncertain about their eternal destiny. Lord, all they got to do today is, like that thief that was crucified beside you on the cross, say, Lord Jesus, I've heard your message today. I've heard that you died on the cross for me, that you shed your blood, that God raised you from the dead, and that if I believe in you, I have this beautiful eternal destiny awaiting me. Lord, just like the thief, just let them say right now, Lord, remember me, remember me. And their sins will be wiped clean, and they'll be made brand new and become your child. We give you the glory, honor, and praise, Lord Jesus, today. We thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Do we have time to sing it? All right. God bless you all.